Hi, my name is Chosen Blakey, and my company grossed $90,000 in winnings from sports betting this year. I have created an online course to teach you the foundation of sports betting. After taking this course, you'll be able to make a sound and confident bet on a sport of your choice. Open the Eventbrite app or website, search Sports Betting for Beginners, use promo code NIGHTMARE, all lowercase, to receive a 15% discount off the ticketed price. Follow me on Twitter at FantasyPharaohs for all future classes and betting needs.
I have a dream.
Wednesday had a few nightmares. Just...
Dreams are full, nightmares come true.
Freddy Krueger, give him a nightmare. Soon as you close your eyes, nigga, we right there. Come in the middle of the night like it's a nightmare. You open your eye, not dreaming, nigga, we right there.
You're locked into Nightmare Radio with Ish the Exec and Brittany Kristen.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 82 of Nightmare Radio. It's your girl, Ish the Exec.
And it's Brittany Kristen. We thank you so much for choosing this podcast because, you know, you could have been at any other podcast, but you clicked on this one, and we're going to prove every single reason why you need to tune in, because today's show is jam-packed with some great gems.
Yes.
But before we get to the gems.
Yes. Before we get to the gems, first of all, happy Women's Month to all the women.
Yes.
Shout out to everyone who we've met this past week. We just attended the Women in Radio Conference. We've been working a lot of room. So if you are in the building from that new little business card we've been passing out, shout out to you. Be sure to leave us a voicemail at the end of this episode with all of your thoughts on what we will be discussing today. Please
share it with your friends, too. Like she said, we met a lot of people in the past couple of weeks. So share this podcast. Let the message be spread. We out here doing it for the culture.
Yes, we are. And this episode is always, and every episode will be sponsored by Her Wine. You can visit herwines.com. Use code DON'TSLEEP to purchase a bottle of wine. We are sipping on Mama Needs a Break this month for Women's Month. And you don't have to be a physical mama.
Yeah.
It's just Mama Need a Break.
Yeah.
Because at this point, we all need a break. We need to reflect. Connect.
We deserve that to ourselves.
And uplift one another.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do that with a bottle of Her Wine today. And without further ado, we're about to hop straight into the culture list. Let's dissect the wins and L's for the culture this week.
It's the culture list on Nightmare Radio.
By the time you're listening to this show, this will be Andrew Young's 90th birthday. So happy birthday to a trailblazer. A living legend among us all. He turns 90 years old. He is, of course, the former mayor of Atlanta and a dear friend to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He's being honored all week in Atlanta and all across the world, especially during this time of racial tension and violent invasion abroad, right on time. So yesterday, or Thursday, the city of Atlanta gathered for the peace walk in honor of him. He spoke to a crowd gathered in Centennial Olympic Park before the march began, and they traveled down to the Rodney Cook Senior Park in Vine City, where they unveiled a statue of him. Shout out to this picture of me and my mama.
And Brittany wanted her photo op to go live.
I did. We got a chance to meet him. He actually stopped and had great conversation. I met him at the private screening of Kerry Washington's American Son
in
2019.
Okay.
And he really, people don't know this, he was the person that held Dr. Martin Luther King after he was shot.
Wow.
Yes, this is Black history. This is living Black history. And so for years, he actually grappled with survivor's guilt because they talked about, you know, shooting the strategist and not the dreamer. And so many would like to say, or many, you know, say that bullet was a double-edged sword for them both. And so as we live today in 2022,
right,
and we see that a lot of these, you know, trailblazers have now transitioned to become ancestors. So we really need to give this man, this living legend, his flowers.
Yes.
Because he is the last of a fast diminishing breed, and he's got 90 years on this earth, and we're so thankful for him. So happy birthday to living history, Andrew Young.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Up next on the list, we've got
We've got Pharrell, Mariah Carey, and the Isley Brothers inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So June, as you all should know by now, okay, is Black Music Month. And the Songwriters Hall of Fame is returning after a two-year hiatus from COVID. I think, is COVID over?
No, but I mean, that's what they still
said.
Outside.
They said COVID is over, so I don't know. Y'all tell me, and
like
I'll let you know.
Ain't dead, and 10 years is gonna be like COVID ain't dead.
I'll let y'all know if I get it because I've been outside, no mask.
Oh no, no, you
just vibes.
Don't get it, girl.
And I don't want it because words have power. Okay, but this year they will be honoring new inductees Mariah Carey, Pharrell Williams, and his partner Chad Hugo. Mm-hmm.
The Neptunes.
Shout out to Anisha. That's her favorite group. She loves.
Really?
She loves Pharrell.
Didn't know that. Okay.
She loves Pharrell. All four members of the Isley Brothers.
Yes.
Even though we have two pictures here, but you're going to get the two. Okay. but they are, and other notable Rock and Roll Hall of Famers will be in the recognized as well. So shout out to them. In 2019, they recognized Missy Elliott, Yusuf Cat Stevens. They were inducted with legendary singer-songwriter John Prime and Tom T. Hall, all behind-the-scenes hitmakers like Dallas Austin. Mm-hmm. Oh, and behind-the-scenes hitmakers like Dallas Austin. Priscilla Renee, Money Long. Is she going to be honored too?
No, that was a little caveat for me. One day, I can't wait to acknowledge Priscilla Renee because she deserves it too. And for y'all who just tapping in on Hours and Hours, that's Money Long. But you know,
everybody, I didn't know who she was. You know, everybody has a story, and I'm glad that she's stepping from behind the scenes. I wonder how many other people behind the scenes are really making it happen.
Right.
You know, but she has that voice. Like
she's attempted to step from behind the scenes numerous times before. But again, it's all about timing and consistency. And baby, that's why she changed her name to Money Long, to let y'all know she ain't new to this. She true to this.
Oh.
Okay. Period.
I can sing, y'all. Can I sing to you? Yeah. I'm just kidding. Okay, y'all. Ooh, I've been watching this, and we got something to say about this.
Yes.
Brittany Griner.
Into the L list.
You know what? This week was not heavy on the win side.
Right. And if we miss the win, then tap in on the comments or leave us a voicemail, because we definitely want to report the good Black news. You know what I'm saying? But it's just been a difficult week for us to get through a lot of things. So if we miss something, still an opportunity for you to tap in with us. But unfortunately, we got to discuss what's going on with my good namesake sister, Brittany.
Yeah, that's all it is. But Miss Brittany was arrested February 17th in Russia.
Yes.
For having the valves of the hash that go inside the vape pens that y'all like to partake in. I don't know why y'all be doing all that. That's a lot.
The vape stuff?
The vape, the oils. Y'all doing too much. Just break it down and roll it up. Anyway, she's accused of crossing the Russian border with this stuff in her luggage. So she was at the airport. And you know you're not supposed to be having that stuff at the airport.
Well, that's the thing. See, you have to be careful with certain countries that you go to. Like, people travel to the Caribbean. Marijuana is a substance that's not illegal over there in those countries. But in countries like Saudi Arabia, Russia's a hardcore place. A few other small countries in Europe, they have stringent rules on it. Even if you get sick, and you have THC in your body, in your blood system, whether you smoked 20 days ago and it's still in your system and you got sick on the premises, that's illegal. And you can serve up to 10 years in Russian prison for something like that.
And this is what Brittany Griner is ultimately facing right now.
Right.
10 years in prison. But the reason why this is such a unique story right now is because of the U.S.'s relationship with Russia right now about Ukraine.
Right.
And a lot of the news is reporting that Russia likes to trump up charges on different U.S. citizens when they are in captivity with the Russians. However, they feel like Russia will use her as like a pawn in a sense with this whole Ukraine situation.
And see, that's the thing. The media has actually been advised not to promote and blow this story into the stratosphere as it's happening right now for that very reason. And so the premise of this is that it is a legal battle. And so she's been cut off from the U.S. embassy. Basically, they've been trying to assist her and bring legal people over there to help her. Of course, it's going crazy right now, but essentially, even us talking about it now, I mean, it's already out, so we're going to talk about it. But this had been going on for 3 weeks to the day as of yesterday.
Right.
And it was not supposed to reach the media, because if the Russian government sees how influential and impactful this is to us over here, then it's said that they would attempt to manipulate the situation and hold it out. So,
right.
So really, they wanted to keep this quiet.
Right.
So that nobody would know, because it's so tense over there.
Right.
So that she would have had better chances. But now that the Russians see that the United States is rallying behind her, which is ironic, because y'all know the reason why she went over there in the first place. Because
she ain't getting no money with us over here in the States.
And that's also a twisty thing, too. We talk about, you know, woman equality. It's Women's Month. We want to be paid equal pay and stuff like that. But do you watch WNBA?
No.
Neither do I. And nobody else pretty much watches WNBA. Every single year, the NBA has to spend $10,000 to bail out the WNBA because they do not make a profit. So there's no way. And I'm here for women getting equal pay, but you have to earn it, right? The NBA profits hand over foot because people like to watch men play basketball. So the money is there. The WNBA, they cannot play their payers because their players, they cannot pay their players because nobody is checking for it. So women talk about, we need equal rights, we need equal pay, even in the WNBA, but women are not watching, and neither are men.
But at the same time, I feel like the NBA or whoever is a part or behind or funds the WNBA could be doing a better job. They be giving them players their ass to kiss when it comes down to things, especially when, I want to say last year or whenever they were doing the Summer Olympics, the men's training room or workout room or whatever was way different than what the women were giving.
Who was going, and I agree. I definitely agree. But who was going to pay for it? They need to give them the same, you know, playing field. But it has to be, if they give them the same playing field, are people going to watch it?
They have to make that marketing investment to get people to watch it. If they know that it's a passion, or that there is a path for women's basketball, they have to invest into that.
They have, though. In 2008, they shelled out more than what they usually do monthly, and they did that campaign that lasted for 3 seasons, and the audience was not well receiving of it. So if we want, like, for example, if we want to advocate for equal pay for women athletics, specifically women's sports, we have to show that we want to see it.
Right. I'm not advocating for it because I don't really give a fuck. But at the same time, I just want to say this. Like I said before, y'all are athletes. Just like I am a mom, I am whoever I am, and everybody has their titles. When you take certain positions, you know what you're supposed to be doing, and you know what you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You knew that you are not supposed to be doing that as a basketball player.
You can't do that.
So why are you doing it?
See, that's another thing.
People think they can scapegoat, they can get out of anything that they want to, and now you're sitting in a Russian jail in the middle of a war, and then Putin done went to Ukraine the week after it happened.
Right. My prayers for Brittany Griner, for sure, and all of her supporters. I hope that we can get them together. Moving on to the next L for this week. Jussie Smollett finally received his verdict. The Empire Star is going to receive 30 months of felony probation, which also includes 150 days in jail, and he's ordered to pay restitution. Baby, the check is long. $120,000 and a $25,000 fine for making false reports to police that he was the victim of a police hate crime, or of a hate crime and a, you know. Anyway, the thing about it, after he received his sentencing, he is holding on to the fact that he did not make this up. He insists that he is still innocent. He insisted that he said that he respects the judge who made the decision and the jury, but he still stands by saying that he did not do this. Then he turned to the court and said, I'm not suicidal. And if something happens to me during these 150 days while I serve in jail, please know that it was not from me. Now, what do you think about that?
I think that we need to talk to Lee Daniels about what the fuck was going on them sets of Empire, because that cast has lost their mind. Bashir Gray, crazy nut.
Oh, he's from Philly. What'd he do? He just had a baby, too.
That man be in and out of jail every other month.
Oh, I didn't know
you
that.
You ain't know that?
Uh-uh.
Google it. At this point, we need a think piece on and a deep case study on what the hell was going on the set of Empire.
For the men, because the women are flourishing. Grace,
yeah.
Grace Byers coming out with another book. Taraji just at the top. You saw she just landed that role as Suge.
Mm-hmm. Precious.
Gabrielle Sidibe found love. Did not do that. She done had roles after Precious. No, she did not say. Gabby, it was not me.
I just didn't know your name, Gabby. I'm sorry at the moment. But yeah, Gabby, they all shine. But I think we need to do a detox with Lee Daniels.
And see what happened.
Because did he lie or not?
Well, his family is also, Jesse's family is also standing by him to say that he did not lie. I mean, but the proof is in the pudding. Now, however the story is spent, I think, and the judge also mentioned, the judge said that he was narcissistic, arrogant, selfish, and disgraceful. And you know, I'm not saying that I do not disagree. However, what he said at the end, we do have to be very mindful. We have to be on alert and send our prayers of protection for him, because our Black brothers and sisters go behind bars and they don't get a chance to come out sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
So, because the world has been watching this case, it's been so public. He's made a whole lot of enemies because the black world was so in protection and defense of him at first. Who knows what he's going to face when he goes behind, you know, when he goes in for those 150 days. I do pray for his safety. I hope that nothing happens. I'm glad that he went on record and said, if something happens to me, know that it's not from me.
They need to just put him in a holding cell. In isolation. Yeah, for them 150 days. And we gonna hope he sees it out. Okay, let's get into this Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
Okay, because I ain't want to fuck that up. Ryan Coogler detained in an ATL bank. Oh, and yeah. This happened in not Atlanta. right around the corner from where Amaretta was doing the video at. Somebody noticed the big KFC chicken.
Yeah, it was actually off West Paces Ferry. It was the Bank of America off West Paces Ferry.
The way I would be withdrawing all of my money from Bank of America and putting it somewhere else after my own sister, Black sister,
mm-hmm.
calls the police falsely, because me as a Black man want to walk into the bank with discretion and pass you a slip because I'm trying to get cash to handle my business.
Yeah.
You stereotype me. You cast type me. What's the word? I'm missing it.
Falsely accused, for sure.
Falsely accused.
The problem. Okay.
What's the problem? The problem is her. The problem is the bank.
Here we go. You know, the Black culture fishing out, I'm going to have to say what I got to say. The media, the world has done such an immaculately good job of vilifying Black people and Black men specifically.
Right.
That sometimes our own have come to believe the type of shit that they put out about us.
Right.
This man walks into a bank in the middle of January, dressed for the weather in a Scully and a hoodie because it's cold outside. And a mask, because at that time we were still under a citywide mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he wears sunglasses because this is Ryan Coogler. He is not just some fly-by-night, nondescript wannabe celebrity. He's a director. Nailed two major franchise movies and films. He is somebody that you would, I mean, I've seen his face all over, so I'm pretty sure that he's recognizable. But had a white man in a suit walked in there and done the same thing. The note actually, he actually greeted the woman. It wasn't like he walked in and just slid the sheet of paper. He greeted the woman. He said, hello, good morning, etc. He slid the note. The note said, I'd like to withdraw $12,000 and please do the money count elsewhere because I'd like to be discreet.
Right.
He says that he does this every single time because he has to pay his care providers that take care of his children and, you know, someone else that's sick in the family. This woman, this Black woman, one of our sisters, is a perfect example of the effects of what happens when the world does such a great job of creating this stereotype. You know what I'm saying? So she only sees a man in a hoodie, in a Scully. Forget that it's probably 40 degrees outside, because probably everybody else is dressed similarly.
Right.
Wearing a mask.
Right.
What else are you supposed to do? You're supposed to walk in the bank with a mask on. And automatically she feels threatened. Not once did he raise his voice.
He ain't have no weapons.
He had no weapon. When she felt threatened and decided to walk away. Literally, she said, "I'll be right back." She went to the back. He thought that she was doing the money count in private. Unbeknownst to him,
she calling 12.
Right, and the police walk in with their guns drawn.
And they could have killed the man in the bank for no reason. And it would have been at the hands of her. Her oversight or her fear of whatever the hell. But, and I think we've beat this, but I want to say this. Y'all need to stop asking Amaretta shit, okay? So Amaretta goes on the...
Who said that? Who asked her anything?
Oh my God. Raquel.
Who was Raquel?
She goes on Raquel's show and Raquel asks her, you know, because outside of Atlanta, everyone sees Atlanta as this black Mecca, like black Hollywood. It's black as fuck. It's black people everywhere. You know what I'm saying? There's not really a lot of racist things per se that come out of Atlanta. So she was asking her, do a lot of racist things happen in Atlanta that we're not privy to?
What'd she say? What did Amaretta say?
That the white people really cool and that she never really experienced racism. Now, what I want to put out there is something that you have told me time and time again. Since we are privileged enough to live in affluent black communities, we have been sheltered from the different experiences that someone in maybe Macon might have experienced, where you went to school,
Valdosta, Statesboro,
you know, Douglas. All of those other places in Georgia. Because, baby, Georgia is racist as fuck. Y'all saw what happened to Ahmaud Arbery. No, to answer your question, Raquel, no, there are not a lot of racist things per se that happened in Atlanta. But you can't really say that. Like, right. It's all experience-based. It's all experience.
It's
yeah, yeah. You can't really ask Amaretta, who don't know what Atlanta is, first of all,
right,
about what's going on in Atlanta.
So when you ask those type of questions, instead of saying, does this happen in Atlanta? Because first off, she's not a spokesperson for the city
just because she made a song, right?
Nah. And she's, nah. Second, make sure that when you're asking those questions, you're speaking directly to the person's experience. That a better way to ask that question, Raquel, would have been, in your experience, Amaretta, have you had any experiences that were, you know, racially fueled? Because I personally have a totally different answer for that. And I know that my experience is not the same as yours. It's not the same as our producer, Philip, in the studio. It's not the same as
anybody's.
So that type of question is really objective unless you want to get down to the facts and look at the facts of it. And the facts will tell you that that's not the case. But neither here nor there.
Right. Coming up next, we're hopping straight into the political update to talk about these gas prices and what we are going to do, honey. I need to get my Flintstone feet ready. But before we do that, we're going to hop right into the mix. This month, as we said, initially is Women's Month. So get ready to hear all of the dopest independent female artists that submitted their music to Nightmare Radio Show. Shout out to you. We're about to get straight into it. And if you would like to submit your music, please visit www.nightmareradioshow.com for a chance to be selected. Now, men, this is not y'all time now. It's not y'all time. Submit your music and we'll play you in April, okay? Let's hop into the mix and we'll be right back.
Bitches must wanna get beat up while I be chilling somewhere with my feet up. Why you stealing energy? I'm trying to re-up on my own energy. I got that bitch leave me alone energy. If you trying to ruin mine, don't pity me. I got God on my side, the whole trinity.
Yep.
You a codependent, I'm an entity.
Yep.
Don't care about you enough to be your enemy.
True.
Yeah, you a lame, the epitome. Let's be real, you should shut your fucking mouth. Mind your business. Cause I be counting that paper, getting Benjamins. Why you so upset? Let's get into it. I'm too bad of a bitch. I meditate and shit, but still bitches must wanna get beat up. Yeah.
While I be chilling somewhere with my feet up. Yeah.
And it's crazy cause I really don't care.
I don't.
But when I step in the room, I feel the animosity in the air and the stare.
I worry about me.
I
don't know what you're supposed to be. Also angry, so worked up over Kaylin Bree.
I don't even bother nobody.
These folks, they be hating for free. Couldn't be me. Couldn't be me. So I suggest you shut your fucking mouth. Mind your business.
cause I be getting that paper counting Benjamins. Why you so upset? Let's get into it. I'm too bad of a bitch. I'm meditating shit, but still bitches must wanna get beat up.
Shut your fucking mouth, mind your business.
While I be chilling somewhere with my feet up.
That paper getting Benjamins.
Bitches must wanna get beat up.
Shut your fucking mouth, mind your business.
While I be chilling somewhere with my feet up. Please get a fucking light.
Now with that being said, don't have a fucking play with me, bitch.
On a regular, nigga, I'm a predator. In the way I keep the crowd lit, need a sedative. It's a different medicine, edible. Only one bite, feel incredible. This another episode, take a shot by shot. I get paid per view, watching on my block. Tryna see my moves like a couch, got pop. Get it, get it, and I just don't stop. Rocking discount, Sean John with DC Johns. And they all look so wrong, it's ding ding dong. Like I pulled up on y'all, I mean it's on. I need you and her in the room alone with me. In the city, Tusa, Diddy, looking pretty on my biddies. Rocking red, but ain't no trippy. Play a lot, but don't play with me.
Wait, what was that?
Tusa, Diddy, play a lot.
Wait, what was that?
Don't play with me.
Don't play with me. Play with your mother, ho.
Don't play with me. No, I'm saying, don't play with me. I'ma say it one more time. I'ma let the track play. You know what?
Yeah.
All right. Catch up. Cause you look a little monster, baby. Looking yellow, asking Mayo. Mayo. Crazy how you let them folks tell you how your day go. Blood sugar running on high, drinking Faygo. Man, need to get your life up. Mama told me get a job, so I picked the mic up. Tried to get up on the stage and they told me pipe up. So I did, now they can't help but fuck with the kids. You know I did. Rockin' discount Sean John with DC Johns. And they all look so wrong, it's ding ding dong. Like I pulled up on y'all, I mean it's on. I need you and her in the room alone with me. In the city, Tusa, Diddy, looking pretty on my biddies. Rockin' red, but ain't no trippy. Play a lot, but don't play with me.
If your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough. You're locked in with Nightmare Radio.
Tired of rent increases? Stop paying rent on property that will never be yours. Build wealth, invest in your future, and become a homeowner. Book an appointment with Christiana Torre, Atlanta native realtor, today. Love Thy Realtor, Keller Williams Buckhead. Contact 678-538-8989.
Politicking with the political update.
This week, gas prices have toppled almost to $5 in Atlanta, and we are sick and tired of it. But Governor Brian Kemp said on Tuesday that he wants to suspend collections of state motor fuel taxes amid the rising pump prices. On the same day that the Democratic president, Joe Biden, announced a ban on U.S. imports of Russian oil. This, of course, is a move that's going to continue, you know, raising that price, raising the pressure at the tanks. Now, Georgia's gas price includes a federal tax of 18.4 cents per gallon. Did y'all know that? An additional 18 cent is added onto every, you know, price per gallon that we pay for gas. And the state tax includes 21.1 cents per gallon. So a number of cities and counties also charge different taxes as well. You know, outside of the metro Atlanta area, the gas is a lot less expensive because they don't subscribe by those gas prices, those gas taxes. But the federal taxes on diesel fuel are 24.4 cents per gallon, and Georgia's tax on diesel fuel is 32.6 cents per gallon. So this is going crazy right now. Senator Warnock has also partnered with Brian Kemp to make this thing happen for us. They did not say how long they would want to suspend the taxes or for how much this will cut the bill in half. Of course, all this is pending, you know, the General Assembly, approval from the General Assembly. Right now, we're still in open session. But Kemp did say that the plan would not imperil his proposal to give $1.6 billion in state income tax refunds out of the state budget surplus. So we are watching. We are watching these gas prices rise. We are unhappy about it. And I'm just letting you know right now, do not invite me nowhere unless you come in and pick me up, okay? Because I ain't walking.
I'm going to let y'all know right now, somebody is going to pay for this $25 half tank. y'all gonna pay for it. But I'm outside, I'm just gonna have to use my $20 every time. That's just what it is, because I'm out here and I just can't wait to meet y'all and see y'all. Now, I know we talked about Georgia and what they're doing in Georgia, and I'm glad to see that the senator and the governor are working together after all of this, you know, racial tension that we've been having within Georgia. So it's good to see that. And I would love to see what's going on in your state. If you are outside of Georgia, leave us a voice message if you want to tell us that your senator is working with your governor, or if your gas prices is higher than $4.89, then let us know what you're doing at the pump, how the pump is working out in your state. Because right now, it's ghetto fabulous out here. Heard. Especially in the city of Real Atlanta. Because in the city of Real Atlanta, the gas is already high.
15 cent on average. 15 cent more.
And who paying that? You need to have gas before you go to the city.
Oh, you definitely don't fill up in the city, for sure.
You just don't, unless you just don't eat.
Keep it locked right here. We're going to pay a few bills, get into another mix, and when we come back, we're stepping into the Rim segment for a Real Queens discussion with the boss herself, Coryell Mallard. Don't sleep.
Are you looking for somebody to mount that flat screen? Contact Marcus the Hangman today. You will not be disappointed. He can be reached at 404-620-7421, or you can shoot him an email at MarcusTheHangman91@gmail.com.
You're locked into Nightmare Radio with Ish the Exec and Brittany Kristen.
We win it. I bought my own wedding ring. Yeah. Wifey on the jewels.
Big bag.
Ain't no losing over here. My jeweler better than yours. I'm being humble.
Yeah.
Hold up, swag, hold up, whole lot of ass in the back. Hold up, titties on swole when I bounce on this pole. Make a young nigga wanna take a nap. Hold up, make him say swish like a free throw. Bounce on the dick like a freak hoe. Sex on the phone when I get him all alone. Tell him turn the lights on like Rico. So big, it's Super Bowl, big. Oh no, I can't let him go back to hit old, bitch. Whipping Ozies, you know he know where the stove is. They say that's your baby daddy, I say show is. Yeah, peanut butter seats with the cocaine paint. Powder blue pumps with the cocaine mate. Fuck with a nigga before he even had a chat. That's a problem with you hoes, man, you hoes can't think. Calorol, you know where the trap at. I could fit 250 bands in a knapsack. Had 100 bands before I ever had a hashtag.
Had 100 bands before I ever had a hashtag.
Hold up, swag, hold up, whole lot of ass in the back. Hold up, titties on swole when I bounce on this pole. Make a young nigga wanna take a nap. Hold up, make him say swish like a free throw. Bounce on the dick like a freak hoe. Sex on the phone when I get him all alone. Tell him turn the lights on like Rico.
Pocket. Remind me of chimes, type of sound you wanna hear with happiness on the mind. Oh wait, so much serenity. Thank God for granting me with the ability to see that you are the one. Yeah, I'm down with giving free love to no one. Your inconsistency was far too loud. Made my exit easy, I'm happy now. Happy now. It's cool now, I'm believing. I'm moving on from all of it. Take your pick as I pack my bags. I'm moving on. It's cool now. I'm big lit. I'm moving on from all of it. Hand me my keys. Use the rest of your things. Cause happy says I'm done. I'm done.
Lost my trust. Yeah, you lost my trust. No room for love. No more room for love. I had to stop some things.
Find my way back to me.
Lost my trust.
Yeah, you lost my trust.
No room for love.
No more room for love.
I had to stop some things. Drop some things.
Find my way back to me.
The
This not even my final form. I'm still budding, budding, not stopping till I become something. Pollinated, but my head just be buzzing. I'm still growing, but I like who I'm becoming. This not even my final form. I'm still budding, budding, not stopping till I become something. Pollinated, but my head just be buzzing. I'm still growing, but I like who I'm becoming. Fruits of my labor are coming into fruition. But if I'm growing, why I feel I'm in the same position? Frozen by fear, I'm feeling locked in. Surrounded by the pressure to turn buds up into blossoms and flowers. Never had the optics of optimist. My option is to switch the lens and start to cleanse wounded parts of me that been buried deep. Sow the seed of doubt so I start to see my inherent need for publicity as validation. I know that I'm a legend, doesn't matter what they say. Still there's been a voice I can't escape from. It's been lying dormant and benign in my mind till it finally take root inside a part of my heart. So every piece of progress been weeded out from the start. My observation, it get vacant and frustrating when the music that you making don't exceed the expectations that you have for yourself. Make your thoughts go astray. Imagine thinking you the one, but you the one in your way. So I dig beneath the surface and notice that I'm hurting, unearthing all of this trauma with no way to reverse it. It ain't working, that's for certain. So I cover it up with a smile. At fertilizers and fiber and other methods I'm trying at different waters. I water it till I find a part of me that I could finally be proud of. But this not even my final form.
If your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough. You're locked in with Nightmare Radio.
Welcome back. We are now about to step into the RIM segment. Very, very special guest today. I personally am so excited to have this woman in the studio with us. Long time coming. We'd like to welcome Coriel Mallard,
yeah,
to the Reliving Explicit Moments segment of Nightmare Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Queen.
Hey, excited to be here.
Excited to see you, meet you, because Brittany has literally talked you up.
I hope I live up to that. I hope I live up to the expectation.
Oh, You've been such an inspiration for her, if you didn't know.
Aww, yes, I wanted to tell you that personally for sure. Our listeners, definitely a lot of my friend base definitely know that I first started working with you when you were taking care of all of us single wives with the Single Wives Club.
Yes.
Back in 2013.
Long time ago.
Yes, long time ago. And so since then, you have added multi-hyphenate to your resume. Mm-hmm. Author, inspirational speaker, travel agent, boss extraordinaire. You went from teaching women how to become the best versions of themselves, to be prepared for marriage, to teaching women how to get the bag.
Yes, ma'am.
And all the while, you have been just synonymous with like exuding and promoting the Black family. And so I just want to thank you, first off.
My pleasure.
Yes. So this month, we're hopping straight into it. Of course, it's Women's Month. We're being girls, as we are. We're talking all things empowerment and providing motivation for our listeners, of course. And so getting straight to it, like, we always talk about doing so much and the balance that it requires. Is it really a balance? Like, is there such thing as balance in everything?
I think that balance does not exist. And I think trying to create this perfect balance is setting yourself up for failure. And I think the idea of balance comes from us just watching other people and having this false idea of what their life actually looks like.
Right.
Just based on what we see from the outside looking in. So I always like to say the balance thing does not exist. I think prioritization is what it comes down to. So I do a whole lot, but I don't do all of the things at one time. Depending on the day of the week or the hour of the day, like, the priority might change. So I don't necessarily think that you should strive for balance, but I think that prioritization definitely has to be your priority has to be prioritizing, because once you evolve, you know, you are going to have, you know, multi hyphenates, you are going to have different titles, you are going to have different roles and responsibilities. And just because you become a mother does not mean that you're no longer a business owner. Just because you become a wife does not mean that you're no longer a friend anymore. And so prioritization is just a natural skill that you have to acquire.
Well, we are definitely debunking myths out here because looking at you, I mean, you literally teach women how to manage multiple streams of income. I literally was thinking that she's doing it all at the same time.
So let me clarify. Things are happening at the same time, but there are systems in place that are working simultaneously. So I am here with you, but my people can still go on my website and, you know, sign up for a course or purchase something. So things are working. I'm just not having to work them all simultaneously. So when I say prioritization, right now I'm doing like Money March, all things focused on multiple streams of income. February, I was focused on relationship readiness. It was all talking about, you know, helping women and the wife space, the relationship readiness space. So I have multiple things running at once, but my focus, my attention is not necessarily on all of the things at one time.
Very nice. So walk us through like the day in the life of Coriel. How do you
Girl,
get started?
Which day? Every day is different.
I know. So just like do you have like a day-to-day thing that's, you know?
What I've been trying to do is give each day like its own direction. So Mondays is like my office hours. I don't schedule anything on Mondays. I don't like having to show up or be anywhere on Mondays because I'm just coming off the weekend. I'm not really ready yet. Like I'm getting warmed up on Mondays. So right. I don't really do much work on, I don't want to say I don't do much work. I don't do work that requires me to show up somewhere on Mondays. Tuesdays, I do my podcast meetings on Tuesdays. So anything podcast is on Tuesday. So I try to segment my life to fit on, you know, to give me a focus for each day versus me trying to do everything every day. Yeah. So that kind of works for me. And you know, especially when you have multiple businesses or multiple brands or multiple people that you're managing, trying to segment it by day just makes my life a little bit easier. But also making sure that I do plug in like me time. So throughout all of those days, there's going to be at least, you know, an hour or two where I'm finding time for myself so that I'm not getting lost in the shuffle.
That's amazing. I'm taking that because I need some help out here.
Me too.
In the direction department.
Yeah.
Or the segment department.
Really is the time. I know that it's the time management for me.
Mm-hmm.
But we've watched you literally, you know, be able to manage your time and also
the shade of the earring.
You know, also be able to pivot. So again, even before Single Wives Clubs, before you started Single Wives Club, you were also doing other businesses. I think you were selling jewelry, the Stacks bracelets, right? And then Single Wives Club came and was a blessing to many people, myself included. Although at that time, I don't feel like I was primed and mature enough to really apply, you know, the lessons.
It definitely has to be the right. The timing is everything, I'll say.
Yeah. And along with timing comes like seasons. Mm-hmm. So you transitioned completely from Single Wives Club and you completely pivoted. So we start like the dream is always a dream that's continuing to develop, right? But how when are you able to understand and recognize, okay, this requires a pivot. I've completed my purpose or my journey in this part, and now it's time for me to reevaluate and then reorder my steps to move to the next thing.
So I think that there are a lot of like factors that could potentially say, okay, maybe it's time for a pivot. So that could mean maybe, you know, you're looking at your analytics and the math ain't mathing. Like what was once working does not make sense anymore. So sometimes it's that. Sometimes for me personally, the things that I do, I don't start a business because I want to make money. I literally, and you know, with the Single Wives Club specifically, that was a passion project. That was me coming out of an abusive relationship, wanting to avoid that ever again, and also wanting to help save other people from experiencing it. So I didn't start that business because I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna make a whole bunch of money doing this thing. I started it because I was going through something personally. And based on what I was personally going through, I, you know, established this support group for other women, you know, who were on the same journey. All of my businesses have been tied to me personally, things that I believe in, things that I'm going through. You know, I haven't come out with any mommy thing yet, but as I transition, you know, my business reflects that. So a big part of my pivots have been just like my personal beliefs have changed or my priorities have changed. With me transitioning out of the Single Wives Club space, personally, I didn't know this at the time, but I feel like I had to come out of the single wife, like literally branding myself all single, everything, you know, words are powerful. So I know that I needed to come out of that space to meet my husband and become the wife that now I can circle back and, you know, come back into this space. So a lot of my pivots have just been due to me, what I've been going through personally.
Yeah. And so you, in that pivot, you know, you transitioned from Single Wives Club to Workplace Lay. And I know that started within, you know, it started as a something, a conference that you offered within Single Wives Club. And you were kind of sort of like on the precipice of the whole like woman empowerment thing. Like when I think about it, you know, it's like we have different classes, you know. And you were definitely in that early 2010s class of empowerment conferences and creating that network and that space for women, because clearly there was a call for it. But now here we are 10 years later and the call has not disappeared. You know, so how are you still servicing? And I know the answer to this, but for our listeners, you know, how, because it's no longer Work, Pray, Slay. You've got Work University and you're teaching women on a larger scale how to do that thing. So I'm taking that the call pushed you into that direction as well.
Yeah, so again, like a natural progression. I don't, and this is probably gonna sound bad, but I don't usually, a lot of the things I do come organic. Like I'm not like a business mastermind where I'm sitting down in December and I'm just coming out with this crazy plan for the entire year ahead. A lot of the things that I do, it will literally be like God gives me something on a Sunday, I'm figuring it out, and by Friday I'm rolling with it. And so with Work, Pray, Slay, I started to feel like, because like you said, when I started Single Wives Weekend, there was no Women Empowerment Weekend. There was not this industry. I didn't start it to make money. I wasn't making money when I first started it. Like that wasn't it. And so 7 years in, this whole women empowerment thing is a thing. It's getting a bad name. You know, all of the, you know, mean girls hosting the brunches, that became a thing. And I'm the type of person, I want to be the pioneer. Like I don't, once everybody's doing it, I don't want to do it anymore. So everybody was doing weekends, and to the point where they weren't just doing it, they were using my name. You know, like they were trying to host a Work, Pray, Slay in different cities. Like it became just a thing. And so that's a turnoff. I'm out of here. If everybody's doing it, I don't want to do it anymore. So that coupled with me also knowing that I wasn't making the impact that I could make with this one weekend thing, because everybody was so excited for this weekend, but then they went home and they just fell right back into their comfort zone doing the same things that they were doing prior to. And so Work University was born out of the need for giving women the blueprint to actually do the things that I was empowering them to do. So instead of you just coming to Atlanta and getting excited and empowered and I can go do it, I'm going to give you the plan to actually do it, you know, the step by step. So Work University is the step by step, you know, that is the blueprint for how they can actually use their skills to start new streams of income.
Boom. We need to be up and working.
Yeah, we do. Sound like it. Sound like you got a well-oiled machine over there. Yeah. Sounds so. Okay, so I want to get into a little bit of, you know, current event discussion.
Okay.
So this week, Kim Kardashian has been on everyone's mind because she said that women in business need to work harder.
Yes.
Now, I took it
as to work.
I didn't take any offense. I was like, Kim, you damn right. These people need to work harder because I feel like a lot of people have been a lot more lax when it comes down to entrepreneurship. Everybody wants to be one because they want to say that they're one, but nobody wants to actually put the work in to reap what it gives. So what do you think about that statement? Do you think women in business need to work harder, or do you think that Kim Kardashian shouldn't even be addressing women in business because she was privileged?
So I think that everyone's entitled to their opinions. I don't necessarily think that Kim Kardashian should be speaking to entrepreneurs who are like out here trying to get it out the mud, because most entrepreneurs who are getting it out the mud are working hard.
Right.
It might not be working out just yet, but they are working hard. And most success stories didn't jump out the gate successful. So that hard work doesn't necessarily materialize into something as quickly as it did for her and her family.
Right.
So I think that she is entitled to her opinion. I also, on the other hand though, think that she should have probably read the room. You know, I just think that it's not necessarily what you say, it's how you say it. I think her tone was off.
It was the tone.
It was very like,
work hard, bitch.
Yeah. Literally. I mean, literally. And yes, I obviously I agree with working hard, but people are working hard and they don't necessarily get the results that you've been able to get because of the name that you walk in with, right. the introductions that you might have, the connection. So it's just a different... It's just a different thing. I think that, you know, I'm annoyed every time Kim K says anything. Mm-hmm. And most of the world is. So yeah. I think that we already are going to, like, attack anything that she says. So yeah. I think that she just probably should just be quiet. Yeah, just be quiet because you know that people are going to have something hard to say.
Yeah.
And I just think that the way she said it, it just could have been said a little differently.
Yeah. I
don't think she's
that.
Wrong.
I don't think... I can respect yeah. that. I can respect that. I can respect that.
It was probably, you know...
The tone. It was probably the tone that was not receptive, right?
Unacceptable from coming from who she is. Because, I mean, her resume does... You know, she's got the resume for it, but she also has the privilege and the mm-hmm. advantages that most of us don't even have.
Exactly. And then us sitting down or coming up with an idea and then trying to bring an idea to fruition is a totally different process from Kim Kardashian saying, I want to create Skims today and tomorrow. She has a prototype.
Yeah.
It's different. So yeah. her working hard is very different from our working hard.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't think that she thought she about that before
exactly.
she
Exactly. Especially
spoke.
When it comes down to the coin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody don't got the coin.
You touched on something when you said, you know, everyone, it's other people that are working hard, but it may not be working out yet. So it really just goes into like the endurance that it mm-hmm. requires to get it to work out.
Yeah.
We talk about the success stories. We could run your resume down, girl, for all the success that you've received. But it seems like the pieces of the conversation that are always missing is the failure story.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to know what failed, like what were the things that didn't work, that didn't necessarily work out, that mm-hmm. still taught you valuable lessons to take along the way.
So 2012, when I wanted to host the very first Single Wives Weekend, had came up with this great idea. It was, I think it was the Single in the City. It was going to be called, found a venue, all of the things. And $4,500 paid for the venue, could not sell one ticket, like not a single ticket. Didn't sell a ticket though, because I had no marketing strategy. I just came up with an idea. Like, I got this idea, I'm going to do it. Found the venue, got the money, I'm going to do it. And because I could not sell any tickets, went back to try to get my money back, like, we're gonna postpone it, give me some more time. And I was literally, I think, like 2 days too late to mm-hmm. qualify for the refund. So I literally lost the entire $4,500. Event obviously did not take place, and that hurt my pride, because in my mind, came up with this great idea, I know it's a great idea, so everybody's gonna think it's a great idea and it's just gonna work out. Right. That's not how it works. The whole build it and people will come, unless you're Beyonce, unless you're Kim K, like it yeah, doesn't work yeah, out like that.
Right.
So that was like huge failure coming off of prior to the very first event. That was the first conference I was trying to have, but the very first event was like a pop-up shop. It wasn't a pop-up shop back then. This was like 2012, so that wasn't a thing, but that's essentially what it was. And sold like 5 tickets to this thing on top of having sold like 10 vendor tables. So I got these business owners who
have invested,
didn't have any shoppers. So those are the things, those are stories that I love to tell, because people will see the sold out events and not know the 5 people that showed up, you know, when I had invested in the venues, had invested in the cases of wine for this event for these 5 people. You know, it's so I've definitely had those times where I had these great expectations. And even today, everything I touch does not turn to gold. Like, Instagram makes it seem like once you're a success, everything is successful, but that's definitely not the case. So I haven't necessarily had a huge failure like those. But I definitely have had, you know, things that I put out that y'all don't hear about because they just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I think that it's important to put things in perspective for you and not necessarily what you see other people doing, because you don't necessarily know those things, like you said, that didn't work out, that gave you the lessons or gave you the information or gave you the data that led to things, you know, actually working out.
Yeah, that's real. And more than relatable for us over here, because we have, you know, I think we've seen great success in our events, but the behind the scenes is super duper hard, you know, mm-hmm. and it is a lot of opportunities and times where we put our own money you know, and our energy and effort into it, and it's not necessarily the outcome that we expect. But like you said, this shit is going to pop, Ish.
Yeah,
I know it's gonna pop.
And then it's like, whew.
It fizzled. It did not pop.
It didn't pop, or it didn't pop yet, you know. But again, the endurance that's required through it all. And even like the confidence, like how do you maintain confidence when the things don't work out as you thought they would? Like, how do you still
go back to what did work out? Because something that you're experiencing right now is an answered prayer. Like, and not even just an answered prayer, like it was a blessing. You worked for some things. Like, you earned some of the things that you've earned right now are things you once couldn't fathom. Mm. Things you once, like, prayed to God, if I could just. So yeah. I tap back into those things. Like, well, wait a minute. What have you already done? Like, you're already that person. This thing might not have worked out because it might not be the right thing right now, but I never question whether I'm the right person. That just might not be the right thing. And that's okay. Like, you have to go through the wrong things to figure out the right thing. It's like dating, you know. Like, are you gonna give up, like, forget it, I'm over this because that last guy wasn't it? No, I'm gonna try this thing again.
Right.
I'm not ever gonna feel like God forgot about me. This just isn't it. Like, I just gotta keep going till I figure that thing out. And that, I believe that. Like,
that's true.
Maybe I'm crazy for believing it, but that's what I tap into to draw something to keep going.
You're right, girl. That's I can't remember the verse because I'm not about to sit here and quote it, but that's basically what I read this morning.
in a nutshell. Devotion time.
In my closet, you know, my little prayer closet. but yeah, you know, speaking into that, speaking life into yourself, and even manifestation. You're the manifestation queen. I'm reminded of a story too. Somewhere around the time of conference one or two, I think you said you were at the ATM. Someone before you had just withdrawn some money from the ATM and you hung on to that receipt. Do you remember this story?
I don't remember, but tell it to me.
Well, let me remind you.
Okay, remind me.
Yeah, you said that you had pulled up to the ATM to take out some money to pay for something, pay for a vendor, whatever, and the ATM that you were at, there was a receipt that was left in the thing, and it was, you know, withdraw amount, and it was hella money in the available balance left. And that wasn't the case for you at that time, but you're like, I'm hanging on to this.
Those things, listen, I don't remember that story, but those things, those little tokens and those, what's it called? It's like a representation of your faith.
Yeah.
Basically, a physical representation of your faith.
Necessary. Mm-hmm. I need to cover my room with those types of reminders because.
Super necessary. So my husband, before I met him, I bought a travel pillow.
Yeah.
Travel was super important. So those little physical things, like the tangible things that, because for a lot of people who didn't grow up with like super spiritual, not religious, but spiritual parents who know about manifestation and talk about meditation and do all those things, if you didn't grow up learning those things, it's like weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very hard skill to acquire. And so for a lot of people, having something physical that you can touch, that you can feel, that makes it a little bit easier. It makes it real because you can feel it.
Right.
So for me, you know, the receipt, the travel pillow, the gold card, the things a lot of times help me to manifest.
That's true. Something tangible that you can look at. Note it for sure for my own self. Now let's transition into the love department.
How you find that man, girl? We need to know.
Listen, so making the list and becoming the list is super real. I know the whole concept of the list is kind of like, I'm over it, I don't want to hear that again, but the list works if you're intentional with it. The list works even if you're not intentional. It's just you're gonna manifest like good or bad,
right?
But you're gonna manifest something. So working on becoming the person deserving of the person who you want to attract is the key. That's the bottom line. I mean, and we could break that down in you know, that could be a whole nother hour long conversation. But for each individual person, that journey is going to look different. It comes down to you being self-aware about, number one, what you want, and then number two, who you need to become to be deserving of what it is that you want. Because a lot of times we can rattle off this, you know, laundry list of things that we want in a partner, but then if you say, okay, but are you a match to that?
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, I'm not a match, but I feel like he should want me, or I I'm a catch, or, you know, he should take me as I am.
I bring all of this to the
table.
That's really how our generation is operating mm-hmm. now, which is why the dating pool is trash for most. Not mm-hmm. for me, for most. because we were talking about the whole high value thing that was going around mm-hmm. this week about men being intimidated by women mm-hmm. who are high value women. Mm-hmm. We were just like, what is high value? Is it money? Is it the values that they want?
No. Or that you want.
Or that you want. So it's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot, and it's easy to get caught up in those things. That's why it comes down to you knowing what you want for you outside of what society says you should have or do or the rules you should live by, all of those things. Because if you are basing what you want off of those things, when you get it, you're not going to want it. When you get it, it's not going to feel good because it wasn't what was for you.
Right.
So I think figuring out truly what makes you happy and then becoming a match to get that is what I think is key.
So did you go through like a mindset change? Because right now I feel like I'm in this transition where I'm ready to unlock that next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like going through this whole mindset change to me in my eyes. So mm-hmm. what did that mindset change look like for you?
So I think every new level requires a new mindset shift. It's not just I made this mindset shift today and I'm set for the rest of my life. It's no, this mindset is working right now, but when I want to do that next thing, I'm going to need that next level. You know, I'm going to need that new information, that new mindset, that new belief system. A lot of times, like, what you are experiencing right now is based on what you believe about yourself,
right?
Ooh. Especially in relationships. So one of the things that I like to say that, you know, most single women don't like to hear, but if you like did like a lineup of like your exes, mm-hmm. like your last five exes, and I don't mean exes like dated, but let's just say slept with, the last five people you slept with, because you could be like, I haven't had five boyfriends,
but right. you slept with five men.
So five men, right, that you've slept with, those five men are literally a representation of how you felt about yourself, you thought about yourself, how much you respected yourself, how much you valued yourself at each of those times.
Yeah.
And so if you are not yet at a place where you are making decisions based on what you deserve, then you're going to continue to like have that revolving door of those partners who aren't loving you properly. So the mindset shift comes down to you really knowing what you deserve, which sounds good because I'm a bad B, I know what I deserve,
right.
But are you willing to stick to those standards?
Right.
Because that's the other side. It's not just knowing your worth, it's sticking to the standards.
That's more than a word.
That's a word.
Before even, okay, so, because we kind of sort of touched on that too. And I feel like I did that without actually applying it as such, but I took the time required to do that. And we say that the dating pool is trash. From my experience these last couple years, the dating pool ain't trash.
Mm-hmm.
But I changed my mindset to get out of that pool.
Right.
And I'm never dipping back down in that pool again. Yep. So far, it's been decent over mm-hmm. here. But you, ooh.
It's the environment. It's where are you?
Ooh, that reflection piece, though. The people, yeah, that's
it's big.
And who you associate with.
Yes.
Have you had any isolation time in your journey to, like, becoming a wife or mm-hmm. becoming a, you know, successful business owner? What was that isolation time like? I know we asked this question in another interview. But what was that isolation time like for you to, like, really unlock that next level? Because, you know, everybody can't go.
Absolutely. So my isolation time came directly after I got out of that relationship when I was engaged to be married. And that was probably a good year where I was going to therapy, reading every single book I could get my hands on. Like, you know, the first time I read Thinking Grow Rich, it was during that year. The first time I started really getting into meditation, it was during that year. And even though that year was like 2010, 11, I didn't meet my husband until 2017. So it was not like I did this thing. I did Eat, Pray, Love, and then my man showed up. It wasn't that. It was truly a process, truly a journey. And that journey can get frustrating. It can get stressful. It can start feeling like, you know, well, what the hell? I did the work.
Yeah.
You know, where is he? And that is the time when your faith is really tested. And so it wasn't just that year. It was a consistent, I think that we can't ever be like too good. We're not ever done growing, done learning, done improving. And so, yes, I've gotten through this year, but now this next year, I got to work on something different.
Right.
So maybe after that first year, I didn't meet my husband, but the type of men that I was attracting started changing.
Yeah.
And it just got better and better and better because I got better and better and better and evolved. And, you know, as my business started doing better, the circles that I was in, the environments that I was in, the people I hung out with, all of those things started to change and continue to change and evolve until you know, and not even until, because again, it's a ever
word from the show.
Yeah,
right.
You gotta keep becoming.
Yeah. It's a consistent thing. So even though I'm married now, that's not the end all be all. You know,
right.
Like I don't just want to be a wife and that's it. It's like, well, how can I now get around happily married couples? Because I want my marriage to continue to grow. How can I get around mothers who are doing the damn thing? Because I want to be a bomb ass mom. You know, like how do I continue to just next level, like level up, level up, level up?
Right.
And that's a consistent, not necessarily isolation, because, you know, I have a husband and a kid now, so I can't necessarily isolate, but it's a consistent season of development, I'll say.
Yes. Awesome. Yep. Corielle, you just came in and just set the table on
snatched some edges.
I tried.
Five. Where is the extinguisher? Phillip, go and get it. Tell everybody about the Girl Stop podcast.
Yes. Listen, I'm so excited about this podcast because, so again, like, you was tooting my own horn, so I don't have to toot it for myself. But I pride myself on like being an originator. I really hate doing what's already overly done. So I got into the podcast space before podcasting was like the thing to do. Back in 2015, when it wasn't like a thing, I didn't even know what it was. I just had started a radio show. I had this platform. I knew that my voice was powerful, but I didn't know anything about podcasting. And so I started doing it, wasn't monetizing it. Again, wasn't in it to make money, was just doing what I knew to do. What I knew to do. And so 2019, the space was cluttered. Everybody has a podcast. Yeah. It's like a thing now. And when everybody's doing it, I don't want to do it no more. So got lazy, lost passion for it. 2020 kind of took time off. And so Confessions of a Workaholic was the podcast that I initially launched. It was all around entrepreneurship because I have evolved and I know that I was literally doing a disservice repeating the message, make money, make money, make money, make money. That's it. Make money, make money.
Yeah, the podcast ended.
Right. And so I knew that it's not just about making money. That's not all. Like, I want to have the honey to go with my money. So the Girl Stop Playing podcast is all about encouraging Black women to stop playing with their potential so they can start working for what they want in life and in love. Because I believe that if you want this, you know, happy, healthy marriage, which a lot of us do, you have to prioritize that. And so just as much as you invest in your business, you have to be willing to invest in, you know, preparing for a relationship. So the Girl Stop Playing podcast is live every single Thursday at 8 p.m. And it's all about creating the conversations to push the culture forward.
Yes.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I've tapped in a few times. I still be listening. Well, actually, I went to go see if I could find Confessions of a Workaholic, but because those episodes, even though I know you said that it was repetitive, sometimes you have to just go back and listen. Like, I still listen to...
It's still there. You can still find it.
Okay, cool. I'm going to make sure I get back all the way into my bag. Best and Bossed Up podcast, I still be on repeat.
Yes. Hey, Tatum.
Hey, girl. Yes. But yes, we'll tap in with that. Work University for the
yes.
girls.
Tap in.
And March, Money March, you mentioned.
Money
as well.
March is going on right now. All things are, you can connect with me on Instagram though, at Corielle. Everything is always in my bio.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Corielle.
Thank you.
We appreciate
for having
you for the
me.
Gems.
Yes, girl, you changed my life.
Thank y'all for having me. This was fun.
Absolutely. Well, we'll check in with you all next week. And as always, don't sleep.
It's Nightmare Radio. We out.